This is a production of Cornell University.
The third business meeting of the CPSA for the 2010-2011 academic year is November 15th, 2010. Yes? Quorum has to be above, what is it, half of the GPSA voting membership, and I believe at the present moment we do have quorum.
Okay.
Just about. Very close. Okay. We will see in a moment with voting as we go through the... So anyway, third meeting of the GPSA. It's going to be kind of packed because we have to discuss Resolution 2, which is the creation of the ad hoc survey committee. We're going to get an update from the Big Red Farm for Chris Porta. We have the beginning process of discussing Resolution 3, which is the environmental impact statement. And then we move into open forum, which contains a lot of the announcements and reports, strategic planning, and other items. So the first item up on the agenda is the welcome and introduction. So in this part, you'll notice we're going to be doing the voting member roll call, which we can actually determine whether or not we have quorum. So up first is Rhonda. Absent. Kyle.
I'm here.
Steven.
Here.
Tom is sick. Nicole.
Here.
Grant.
Here.
Chris Cluck. He is absent. Evan?
Here.
Billy?
Here.
Bobby is absent, but the member who is filling in for him, could you introduce yourself?
I'm Nathan from the John School. That's Bobby Bunchform.
So he won't have voting privileges, but he's here to discuss all the ideas that are on the table with us. Ben Hebner?
Here.
Chris Heckman?
Here.
You have Jenny?
Here.
Niece?
Here.
Myself, I'm here. Asha? Cisco. Oh, kind of. Okay. I heard a voice, but could not see it. Jen?
Yeah.
Nantogba. All right. Yes, we do actually have quorum. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 members present. So that is quorum. Yes?
One other question. So to pass the resolution, is it a majority of the people present? It always comes up.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to kill you because my parliamentarian is sick. All right, and then we're going to go through and introduce the members who are not part, who will not be able to vote today, and just who are present to provide feedback. So we'll start with our student elected trustee. And then our counsel to the assembly. And then we'll go around the table introducing the other members, starting with Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris Porta. I'm the director of the Big Barn.
Hi, I'm Julian. I'm Phoenix Silver.
Brenda, back there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Brenda Wake from the grad school.
Back there. And then back to Mike.
Mike Hall, UA representative.
Trying to hide my face. All right, so covered. And we're on this first. All right. So now we're going to be moving on to the first item that's supposed to be here is the approval of the minutes, but a student people about 3 hours earlier discovered that the minutes were not attached to the last email, so according to our provisions, we cannot actually vote on this matter today. So I will be sending out the minutes as they stand after this meeting. Oh, one other thing is if you're ever interested in finding members or looking up to see brief profiles, check out the website. So these are the members who currently have a profile on the website. If you're not up here, you might want to consider joining. So the minutes will not be voted on at this meeting or approved. They will be voted on at the next business meeting with also today's minutes. So I will be sending out, take it a look over now because they'll probably be fresh in your head at this moment. If you see any errors or corrections, email me and they'll be considered friendly amendments. So we're going to jump right into the first item on the business of the day, and that's an update from Chris Porter on the state of the Big Red Barn and different activities that are going on.
Hi, guys.
there's lots going on at the farm this semester. So number one, we're going to disperse the atrazine. As you can see, we had three events going on tonight. But one of the things that, in conjunction with Diane, mainly from a Diane point of view, we had some focus groups at the end of October. And I have the complete report here. I only have two copies because I want to be green. But I do have some highlights that I want to talk about. Mainly from my perspective, the stuff that is going to affect me. Now, there was a lot of input for Diane. We'll be discussing that with the Diane folks. And I'm sure there'll be more that will come out from that. But the stuff that affects the operation of the barn as a graduate student center, what I'm surprised to learn is that there's a real lack of information about the Big Red Barn services. People don't know the hours for operation. Let me step back a minute. There was, of the focus groups, there was only a total of, I believe it was 10 people that came. So you also have to understand that this is not, you know, it wasn't what we wanted it to be, but it was significant enough feedback that we're going to, you know, at least take it into the hours of operation. They were concerned about, they didn't know that beer was available for purchase all the time, and that the barn was available to be reserved for space for them. They would like to see the program of the barn to be a coffee house and not have any programs. This was some of the components. To have like comfortable seating, sort of like a Starbucks, and maybe have weekend coffee houses and TGIF, but not have all the programs that we do now with the dances and everything else that's in the barn, and just make it a space that graduate students can come and study and just hang out. I'm not sure that that will happen. I mean, I would definitely need to get more feedback about that, because then it would certainly stifle the uses that we can have for the barn, which is also, when we're closed, is a big, huge part of my, 25% of my budget comes from rental. And so that would really limit the amount of rental that we could do in the barn. I thought this was interesting. There was also a suggestion of special promotion, like a weekly special meal event that was subsidized by the GPSA for grad students only. It was for graduate students. Like, okay. And they would also like to have hot food after 2 o'clock, because graduate students are on campus, you know, just the wee hours of the night. And for programming, they would, like I said, about the coffee house kind of thing. And they also say that this is a quote, that all special events at night are not really for graduate students. We should promote more events that are for the graduate student community, which I found really interesting, because I felt like all of our events are for graduate students. And so one of the things that I'm planning to do is to really to do a count of the programs that we do have, that, especially the ones that are regular weekly events, to actually have a physical count of how many people who are coming are graduate students. My assumption is that it's the majority of graduate students, but maybe I'm wrong. And so to really look at that and say, okay, if we're having these events and grad students aren't coming, maybe we shouldn't take up the time in the barn with that kind of event. And so, you know, this is kind of a step-off point for us to kind of look at and say, you know, are we serving graduate students? It also, and I am working presently with Elizabeth Ellis from the grad school anyway about redoing the website, but it also made me realize that we aren't getting to graduate students. They're not understanding when we operate. You know, I think it's one of those things where every 4 years we get new students, and we do the same thing to communicate to them, and we assume that it's working. And so we need to spruce that up a bit. And one of the things we're definitely doing is updating the website. And what is a problem is that we're not keeping it up to date, and that's really a big problem. You go and there's not, it's old information, so you're not going to come back to it. We also got feedback about our email that it's not easy enough to read. So I have a student who's working on that now to do the HTML, like when you get from the grad school, where the topics are at the top, and if you want more information, you can click on it so you don't have to go through everything to look through it. We are also, and one of the last things that was said at the the focus groups was to, it actually wasn't for the focus groups, it was a student who couldn't come who thought that we should name our dining space, like Synaxis and Matin, and how come it's just called dining in Big Red Barn. So I was like, well, that's a good idea. Maybe we'll have some kind of contest and graduate students can name the dining space. and we're also working on, with the graduate school, as you, the folks who have been here for a while may remember that in 2007, 2008, we had a problem with the roof and the barn was closed for several months. And at that point, the engineer said that you really need to look inside, within 5 years, you need to look at reinforcing the walls and looking at replacing the shingles, the roofing, not the structure that was corrected, because that's really sturdy. So it's getting to that 5-year point, and the university is saying, okay, what do you want to do with this space? We're not going to put money into it if you're going to say that this space will no longer be big enough for us and we don't want it anymore. So we've done a report to them about how important this space, the location of this space, is to graduate students. Graduate students like this space, and that we would like to keep it, we would like to expand it. And, you know, we went from our dream to have, you know, the grad school here, a career center here, you know, expand on either side and maybe go up 4 or 5 floors, and, you know, that would be the grandiose. Down to, okay, if we can't do that, let's just have graduate student life in here. If we can't do that, let's just have a you know, our student center the way it is, but bigger, and have more flexibility in the space, make it 2 stories, have some storage downstairs. So that has been put through so that we have a place card, basically, in the university's strategic plan. It doesn't mean anything will happen, you know, that you'll be able to see, but it means that when they make decisions, they'll be like, okay, and the Big Red Barn is something that we need to, you know, be looking at. So we're in the, we just put the report through, we're in the really beginning stages. Brenda met with the university architect, and there's some things that we have to, you know, feasibility studies and that kind of thing before we even get to the point where we're, you know, definitely saying, yes, this is what we'll do. So, but it is nice to know that it's in there, and, you know, maybe before I retire, we'll at least have a plan of what's going to happen with the farm. We also were doing some programming things that came up with this, you know, the whole stress and mental health and that kind of thing. And one of the things I wanted to let you guys know about that's going to be a little different. We did a TA grading break last semester. We actually did 2, and one was really well attended, and the other wasn't. So this year we're going to have one. We're going to make it bigger. It's going to be Monday, December 6th, which was the timing the same as last semester that was crowded. We're going to have healthy food, and we're also going to have some fun things. We're going to do some Play-Doh, play with Play-Doh and do some little modeling. We'll have some prizes, and then coloring books, and just to kind of like get out of that mode and just sit and have fun and that kind of thing. So that's coming up December 6th, so put it on your calendars. And we'll use the whole building for that, so that we can accommodate a lot of people. And we also talked about in the winter doing a snow sculpture thing, like, you know, making snowmen and that kind of thing. Now that's going to have to be, you know, dependent on the weather, and it's going to be last minute. We'll just send out an email and say, hey, everybody come and, you know, do a little snow sculpture, and we'll have some cocoa and stuff. But, you know, just to have fun in the snow, like things that you guys don't do anymore because you're too serious when you don't have the time. And I'm also working with Billy, and I'm going to let her talk about it in her report. I'm really excited about it. We had a really good meeting and brainstorming. We're going to do a poster contest, and then we're going to display in this room as an art display all the things that are submitted, and hopefully we'll also keep circulating them through the barn on a regular basis to let people be aware of sustainability and being green. And I don't want to preempt her report, so I'll let her talk about it. But we'll be working closely with that committee to get it going and beginning before winter break, so that students can do the posters over winter break.
Is there any questions anybody has?
We have about 5 minutes for questions.
I was asked by some of my constituents to discuss with you the length of your line at TGIF. Possible resolution to the problem.
And did they have it?
well, they thought that the availability, the fact that you can only get 2 years at a time was pretty restrictive and meant that the line got extra long, especially this past week.
Okay. And I can tell you the reasoning behind it is the thing is that it slows the line up when we have more than 2 beers. It actually moves the line faster. So yes, you may have to get in line more often, but when you're in line, it moves faster. We've also done the express lane, and that helped with the, you know, $1. And then it kind of fizzled out, so we stopped it last week, and then people said, oh, we should have kept doing it. So we'll do the express lane again. You know, obviously the complaint with that is you can only get one beer. But we're trying to, when the line is not that small, we'll that you have more. We don't want to bring out the trays again because that always becomes a big clog when, you know, people come up and they want 6 or 8 beers. But our reasoning behind having the 2 beers is to make the line go faster. It doesn't necessarily make the line shorter, but when you're in line, it goes faster. And it, you know, the lines are always long. But, you know, we can, it's the idea of the 2 beers is to make the line go faster. I mean, that's what our logic behind that is. And when the lines are shorter, we would increase the numbers. You know, that, you know, oh, there's only 10 people in line, so you can have 3 beers. And we will allow some trade, but the tray has become a big clog in the wheel. And doing away with the trays has really kind of made it go faster.
And you said you will have the express lane.
Yes, we'll bring back the express lane. Now, I have to tell you, our student staff this week, we had one of our students had a death, and lots of students are leaving early. So if when we're short-staffed, the express lane is the first thing to go. But we will bring that back when I have enough staff to do it.
Okay. I will pass it on to my
Okay. Yes.
Chris, as you probably are aware, there's an activity fee cycle coming up again in the year. You just got out of one as well. And I bring this up because it's been one of my concerns of this body that, in its understandable attempt to be frugal, sometimes shortchanges groups that are worthwhile in its investments into graduate student life. And I feel that one of our more worthwhile investments that we have out there. So as we're going into a new activity fee cycle, how can we help you to better help this program improve and facilitate the entire graduate profession to the community here?
Well, one of the things I know is, you know, that students are saying, you know, stay open longer and have hot meals and, you know, if we could just have a plate. And I know I feel terrible, like today, the group that was in here before your meeting, we had moved them from the main space when that group came in. We asked them to move into here, then you guys started. We asked them to move back again. And I do realize if you come here to relax, you don't want to move every hour and a half. But, you know, and that doesn't happen often. But there definitely is times when you move from one to the other because we always keep one half of the bar available for our snack service people. So only one half can be reserved at a time. And, you know, it's really difficult because of the size. And then, you know, the argument to keep it open later during winter break is, unfortunately, a huge chunk of my income is the holiday parties that departments have, which are from December 10th through, like, the 18th or whatever. And so that's part of the reason that we close. It's also because dining closes, and I don't have any products to sell when dining closes. So part of my hours is based on dining production, and part of it is based on income. So if, you know, if GPSA can subsidize my income, my rental income, which is about, you know, $10,000 a year, $10,000, so, which is a chunk of change, you know, that would be ideal. Now, are students going to be able to, you know, pay $15 more in activity fees? I don't think so. But maybe, you know, if we had a program where students felt like, I come here every night and it's something I want, you know, they will. But I don't know if we can do both. If we can, because of the size of the building, if we can accommodate it as a place where students can come all the time and relax, and also do programming for people who want to do programming, and graduate student groups who want to use the space. I mean, it's not just outside groups, but and graduate student groups aren't part of my income so much, but they do use the space, and that's what this building is for. So it's a really tough, I don't know that more money, you know, like I know that we could do special TGIF every week. More money is always good, I agree, but it's also, you know, there's just so much space. So if we had pizza every night, and every week people would be complaining because it's so crowded. You know, so it's a touch 22. I don't know if you could, you know, if we could subsidize a renovation where we just barn activities, that would be super. But I appreciate your support, and you know, we could certainly. I'm not saying that we couldn't use any more money, but I'm not so sure that money is necessarily going to solve all the problems. It's really the space that's the problem. I mean, we could bring in programs that people want, but we can only accommodate 165 people. You know, so it's kind of hard to justify spending $1,500 for a band to come in and then standing at the door and saying you can't come in because we're already at capacity. You know, so there's that kind of dilemma.
Due to time constraints, we're actually going to have to be moving on. Any other comments or questions you have for Chris? She'd be happy to see feedback because she's a great ally to the GPSA and attends a lot of her meetings. So feel free to find her or email her, and she'll probably respond promptly.
KC31.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I have to run because I'm doing another program
upstairs. Moving on to the agenda, we're going to now be moving into discussing Resolution 2, which is the funding for a student survey, and it was headed by Evan, so if he would like to present for about a couple of minutes, and then we'll move into the discussion. Today, the intent is actually to vote on this matter or decide what we're going to do on this matter.
So I hope I'm Evan. I hope that by now I've bombarded you enough that you know what Resolution 2 is about, that you know how I feel about the importance of doing a student survey to get into what Mike was just talking about, to make sure that we're spending the student activity fee in accordance with graduate student wishes. So hopefully you're on board with that. Hopefully you've read the resolution and you can ask questions. I wanted to say two quick things before we take questions. One was that I met with Amy O'Donnell this morning and got updated surplus figures. They're actually about $300 and a bit higher than what's in the resolution right now. So the projected fiscal year 2011 surplus, so the end of this fiscal year that we're in right now, is $6,984.24. It says $6,605 in the resolution. All that to say, we're asking for an allocation of $3,000, which is that's a ceiling amount. I want to emphasize that we're not saying we will spend $3,000. This is just a maximum amount. You saw Mike's proposal. Likewise, I met with Marnie and Leslie. Leslie Meyerhoff from variously campus life and initiatives, institutional research. They concurred that $3,000 was a reasonable ceiling amount for a survey. Again, I hope not to spend all of that. We've talked about our various methods, certainly have some questions there. All this to say, our surplus, another question that came up was the Ivy Summit savings. The surplus does include those savings. I was able to confirm. So that means that after the end of this fiscal year, we need to make sure to have at least $2,000 in the bank so that we're doing our due diligence saving for the next time we're on the Ivy Summit. You can do math. $7,000-ish minus $3,000 means that we'll have $4,000 in the bank. Again, maximum. It already said in the survey, this works out to about 45 cents per graduate professional student. That's a small price to pay for accurate data, I think. One of the charges, final point, one of the charges for the ad hoc is to develop a plan to sustain the survey long term. It would be my hope that we could pursue an option like having a budget line every year, like we do for the Ivy Summit, that we save a little bit of money each year. And then, so we're not in a situation where we're having to spend a surplus. Anyway, that's all I have to say by way of introduction. I'll take your questions.
So actually, we are in formal debate, so if any member would like to speak against the resolution 2 that is on the table, they have the opportunity to speak now. Seeing none, we'll move into informal debate. There will be any member has the opportunity to ask questions to any other member. Please raise your placards and I'll keep a record of who's asking the questions, and then we'll go through the order. So Brian has the floor first.
But Tom is asking, so Tom would ask you this question. So for the formation of an ad hoc committee, you need 3 members.
Yes.
You have that.
We have 3 people sitting right here. Myself, we have Tom Jenkins, we have Simon, as well as Chris Clark, who can't be here tonight, will be on the committee as well. I've heard from a couple other people who are interested, so at least 3 of us.
Grant?
Yes, I was wondering, who's going to ask you framing the question from the survey? Is that something that's already or she's going to
do it? Again, I'm sorry to be all over the place. Leslie and Marnie, who I spoke with, who do surveys like this all the time, both as their assistants, pro bono, free of charge, help us out to review questions. We're probably looking at going through the Survey Research Institute. They'll assist with questions. Of course, we've got Mike and we've got the doctor and Trey Stiller, social sciences. Students will help us with that question as well.
But it's more so about that they discuss the question and the question itself. Meaning that what are trying to convey exactly? Meaning that what is going to be your inspiration for the question?
Right. This would be a charge for the ad hoc committee. This is a sort of difficult balance that I've been trying to strike here. I want to do enough advanced work so we can have a detailed resolution that gives the ad hoc committee a clear charge. But likewise, I don't want to be too specific in talking about methods of implementation, about what precisely we'll ask questions on, about exactly how the money will be spent, because that's a function that I'm in the ad hoc committee. So.
Because I was thinking, do you think that it would be interesting to kind of involve members of each committee, since like we do in general survey about the entire GCSA,
yes.
But we each of us have like specialty.
You'll see under the first resolve clause, points B, after it says develop a questionnaire, it says that the questionnaire will be reported back to the GCSA for feedback.
Okay.
So whether the committee shares resolved or not, in the process of drafting the questions, everybody in this room will see the questions before they're sent out and they can say, I think you missed this. Actually, I don't think we need to ask that. I want this to be an open, transparent process.
So, with you?
Yeah, just wanted to give my 2 cents. I was looking at the email you sent. I thought this was a great idea and a great initiative. Just a question, a real quick comment. Under the second year, therefore, resolve probably you guys kind of like what you want to gauge. I sat on the Undergraduate Appropriations Committee last year, and I know something that came up a lot was there were a lot of organizations that came forth that were sustainable at the time, but argued that they needed to be expanded because there was a demand on behalf of students. So something you might want to gauge is not only like what's currently being used, but like what's something that students would like to see more of, or like, you know, would they be willing to invest money in to get like more access to, like I.e. the bigger barn. And then that was just a comment. And the question was, I saw that you had an ad hoc committee about data and collection analysis. Was that successful last year, or will you be using like...
Ask Mike about that. He's the head of that committee. That was last year's committee.
Are you going to be transferring over like successful trends from the committee to this? I'm just curious what those are.
I was going to say, your first point is basically an issue of wording. It says right now, currently use activity fee byline funded services. I agree 100%. We don't want to just gauge how current things are being used, but graduate student priorities. I mean, maybe there's some big thing out there. I don't know what it might be. Free broccoli for everybody. There's a major priority for graduate students that we aren't currently funding. Maybe we should be. I think that one way of dealing with that would be a free form. You know, tell us anything you think we've missed, or tell us things you might like to be funded. We can do you know, analysis on that box and see what trends are coming up. You know, maybe they're saying we need more arts funding, or we need laser tag, or, you know, whatever. Well, I imagine we do something similar to what the 2005 Pay and Benefits Survey did. It was all prepared as a report, a lengthy report. It had, like, I mean, I'm a musician. It had graphs in it. It looks, you know, fancy. I imagine we would do that. We would prepare a report. It would be posted on the website, same as that report, accessible just like our minutes are, circulated to everybody in this room, everybody on the non-voting body. Again, it would be transparent, open. The question that might follow from that was, how do you see this data being used when it comes to set the activity fee next year? That's the sort of thing that I don't want to specify, either in this resolution or as an ad hoc committee. I don't want to say this service must be used by at least 30% of the population in order to be funded. That's not a place I want to go. I think we need to have the data so we can have our discussion next fall. I don't think we want to be saying, you know.
Next we have Asha.
So am I to assume that you guys had presented three possible methods of carrying out the surveys? Am I to assume by the number presented that you've decided on one officially? Because the method used is not officially in the resolution.
Yeah, this goes back to my previous point. I think we needed to do some advanced work to make sure that we had enough information in place to allocate a reasonable sum of money. But I think ultimately it's going to be up to the ad hoc committee, keeping with the spirit of committee work, delegation, and all of that, to pick the option that they feel is the most effective, keeping in mind budget, keeping in mind, you know, making sure that we have a representative set of information.
Okay, so it's still any one of those three at the moment.
Or things that aren't in that document. This is something for the committee to decide. That is the first resolve clause on A. And other, not just sampling options, but implementation options, things of that nature.
Next we have Chris.
Thank you. The purpose of this survey seems largely stemming out of the fact that we don't know whether our money is being widely spent in filing funding or in filing funding groups. But it also states in some of the whereas clauses that we're looking at, you know, maybe using this data also for advocating on behalf of our constituencies, et cetera. And I understand that you want to keep this general, and I appreciate that. At the same time, you know, the charge of the survey seems like it could grow exponentially if we allow other groups to sort of say we want to know this or that about the body. So I'm curious whether or how you're going to narrow down what the purpose of this survey is going to be and how that's going to be reported back to GPSA. I noticed that you mentioned reporting back to GPSA in one part of the questions, but I also think that, you know, the character of the survey is very important.
Right. Well, I've already spoken with Billy, for instance, who was curious about having sustainability questions. I talked with Ben in a sort of related light, and we thought that it would be helpful to change the second resolve clause to read on at least the following. So those points A and B, this is a sort of non-answer to your question, but I'll try and answer the question, that again, not to limit, but to sort of provide a direction. That being said, I think first and foremost, we're interested in activity fee. Other things are important, they're useful, they're good. I think we can ask questions on them and get meaningful answers, but I think activity fee comes first. The sort of how do we prioritize, how do we keep it reasonable is the first resolve point B. Originally, that clause read of no more than 35 questions. Mm-hmm. I thought questions wasn't helpful, so I changed it to 5 minutes. There was some sense among the resolution authors that 5 minutes was too restrictive. We keep it to a modest amount of time. The idea being the shorter the survey, modest in my mind being 5-10 minutes. The shorter the survey, the higher the response. So that's not really an answer to your question, but
they are the same. Yeah, if I may follow up, I mean, my concerns are still there, but I feel like, you know, your committee will just have to sort of for itself and sort of determine how you're going to cut it down. I mean, a lot of people want data, but based on the committees I've been on, the faculty senate this semester, it looks like they always look at surveys to solve their problems, but those that have used surveys in the past have frequently stated that surveys don't get better results they want because people don't fill them out in a second, and a lot of other reasons because people just get too many surveys at once. So it's...
Well, about the pay and benefits information advocating, I'm going to be meeting with Brenda Wicks at some point to talk about this. The grad school does a survey of grad students every 5 years, so that's like once every 20 years. Anyway, there might be an overlap. Never mind that. I'm going to try and find out what's being asked there, how that data is being used.
Okay.
And this could be a sort of prime charge for the ad hoc committee. I think we want to ask questions about things we can do something about. You know, if we're asking a question that is something like, do you feel that your stipend is large enough, but we don't have any sort of meaningful way of saying we think people's stipend should be larger, then that just creates a sort of, you know, people have become disillusioned. Whereas if we say, do you feel your activity fee is being spent well? Well, we can do something about that. That the activity.
Okay, thank you.
Following the order of the day, we have run out of time for discussion. If you feel like we need to extend discussion, we may, or if we want to have a call for a vote, we also can have it.
I would move the question to call for a vote.
Second.
We have a second. So Ben moved. Pass a second. So at this time, we're going to do a placard vote. So all those in favor of the motion that is currently on the table, Resolution 2, which is the funding of the ad hoc survey, and formation of the ad hoc survey committee, please raise your placards now. The number is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 13, 4. Those against, please raise your placards now. None. Those abstaining, 1. So with a vote of 13 to 0 to 1, the resolution passes. So moving on into the agenda, we are going to switch over to start discussing Resolution 3. This item we actually will not be voting on today because it is a potential, it's not a charter amendment, but it is a adjustment to the byline funding process document, and so that carries the same weight and merit as the charter, so any adjustments to that have to have two meetings prior to actually having the resolution being passed. And so at this time, I'll ask one of the authors, primary authors who would like to speak on the matter. It looks like Mike Wood, and he has about 5 minutes to present to the body.
All right, so as I mentioned earlier, we are about to enter a new byline funding cycle in the period in which we allocate money to different student groups around the campus. And in working with a lot of groups over the past couple years, it's been an increasing interest in the area of sustainability. And also an increase in interest net into making sure that our COGP is spent in a responsible and proper manner. Going off of that, I, with Reneal, developed this, what I hope is a stupid EG, as Ed would say, resolution, that adds three lines to the guidance, the DPSA eligibility criteria, and obligations for byline-funded organizations. And this document sets out the requirements for byline-funded organizations to for how they apply for byline funding. And typically, starting in the spring, over the summer, into the early fall, these organizations will be submitting basically a 10 to 15 page proposal, byline application for funds to the GPSA and the student assembly. And typically with these, as part of these proposals, they include, the whole list is basically here, dollar request, mission statement, constitution, charter bylaws, financial information, budget, group portraits, which includes history and programming and whatnot. So going off to the increasing sentiment towards developing a more sustainable campus, we decided that adding a requirement to add an environmental impact statement to to this application would be a good idea to help reach them start thinking about how their actions impact the campus and the environmental and the global environmental footprint. And I think this is a very good way of doing that. It basically, it's a simple requirement. We're asking for less than one page of these groups where they investigate and detail what they think their environmental impacts are and lay out ways to that they think they can evade that. I think this is going to be a good opportunity for these groups to kind of showcase some of the work in the area of sustainability that they're doing. And I hope you all see that this is a valuable thing as well. One last note, I won't be here at the next meeting for a vote. I will actually, I just found out today, I'll be attending the COP 16 UN Framework and Climate Change Conference down in Cancun. I will say this, by passing this resolution, you'll probably accomplish more in the sustainability realm than we will be doing down in Cancun.
I hope you're applying.
Oh, good. But I'll give the rest of my time to the other sponsors if they have anything to
add. I guess I can just chip in from where I came to this resolution. Me and Mike attended this past resolution both in the student assembly and the GPSA, so a similar copy of this is going to the student assembly this week, just with our charter instead of your guys'. We passed this through both our appropriations committee and our environmental committee in the past week. I got a positive response from both of them. The appropriations committee felt this was a good way to have groups reflect on the environmental impact they were making on the university and, comply them to align themselves with the goals of the university as far as sustainability go. The environmental committee had a couple nitpicky things to our resolution, such as how this information was used and collected, but overall they supported it to a large extent as well. Like Mike said, it goes a long way towards improving sustainability on campus. So if you don't vote for it because you feel sorry for Mike that's to be in Cancun, they support it for sustainability.
We yell at them.
The remaining amount of the time, I believe about 5 minutes, is open for discussion. If you have any questions or comments for the audience, and I'll off the order I saw, Evan is first.
My question relates to your final point. So you're asking people to submit this information. I know in my email that we don't specify what the appropriations committee should do with it. That's basically my question. So we've collected this information. I agree it's great we're getting these organizations to think about their environmental impact. But what do you see the GPSA, the appropriations committee specifically doing with that information?
I have a response to that. They don't do the same thing. While we were crafting this resolution, I was asked co-sponsors, I was wondering about certain questions that I could ask them. This is exactly one of them. 2 points. The first point is that an organization thinking about its environmental impact has already made that organization address the environmental issue. So that means that it needs to say something on this page of paper. It needs to either say we do not, we have a bunch of trash and we're just throwing it away and we don't have compost and everything like this, and that will convict them in some sense. Or they can, on the other hand, showcase what they've done. The second thing is that we as a body do consider sustainability as an important thing. When it comes down to funding groups, we take into account a lot of different concepts and issues, mitigative processes, money that the group is spending. If a group is spending money on for instance, just, I guess, tableware that are compostable, and they're saying that that drove up their prices, maybe, like $1 a student or something, we'd be willing to look at that and say, well, that's a reason why we want to be able to, fund this organization, because we believe that this new initiative that they instituted actually is worth the money that they're paying for it. Also, we have a limited amount of money, and groups that do look at the environment and their footprint when they are crafting their applications, then we will, look at those groups more favorably.
Exactly. So this is more for the groups than ourselves.
I wonder, the other guy's perspective, I know sitting last year, groups will do pretty much anything possible that they can to impress the committee and make it look like they deserve more money. We asked for advertising supplements, and they came forward with really specific numbers on
how advertising is reaching out and stuff like that. We thought that doing something like an environmental impact statement would get them to critically think about how they're using energy and how they can use it more efficiently, and hopefully they would try and use that as, you know, like Chris said, another way to merit funding.
Final follow-up, I wonder if we might not have you post on the forum about this, include language that says exactly that, you know, prepare this statement with an eye toward, you know, make that explicit.
Next question on the floor of time.
Okay. I based on my question personally, Evan, I'm wondering how appropriate to share what you want me to do with the information that's totally going to be collected. And I guess, you know, I felt like the resolution could use more detail on how our organization is supposed to begin to measure their own environmental impact. I mean, I feel like a lot of the university sustainability initiatives in the coming years are going to be kind of big things that fall into the category of overhead, like energy use, procurement policies. A lot of those are really outside of the control of a lot of individual pipeline funded groups. So I'm kind of wondering, I'd be very interested if there's some general comments, like a sample of something you guys think would be a good sustainable or environmental impact statement. What specific metrics you think groups should be trying to come up with in terms of measuring their impact. I wouldn't know where to begin with if I had to get told what to do to get people to come up with an environmental impact statement.
So I think to answer that, I'd be happy, I think Renee Long would be happy to, I think, sit down with you and the other members of the agency just to hand around an example. But I want to really, stress that I want to keep this simple. I want to keep this really simple. To give a lot of freedom and flexibility to our student organization. I've been involved in sustainability here at Cornell for a long time. And I'll tell you, I know a lot about what we do on campus, what we do in the overhead world, but I could not tell you how the Cornell Content Commission can be more sustainable. The only people who can really do that effectively is the Cornell Content Commission. So I think what I'm trying to do is encourage these groups to be creative and bring them to, think about generating their own ideas, putting that down on paper as part of their kind of business plan, part of their action plan.
Okay, follow up very briefly. Although I think at the same time we don't have very many ideas for a lot of these groups.
Yeah.
And we encourage them to start thinking from grassroots about how they can, put it into their plans. The Big Red Barn, I would say, can speak directly to sustainability measures that they've been putting forward immediately and with great success to collaborate. So while some groups, you're not sure they could write it, I'm trying to kind of get to the simplest one and say, this is something they have to do in context and keep it up.
We have three remaining questions on the floor. Brian, he passes. Stephen?
So I do appreciate the fact that you guys kind of keep the same working with the freedom in terms of how they can engage their environmental impact. But I guess just to echo Evan and Kyle's concerns, keeping this vague in terms of the actual information you asked for, I feel maybe less productive than you folks anticipate. So I was wondering if you guys thought of maybe in terms of the information that you asked in this one page, or being more specific about that, maybe asking them, give me simple analysis of how much money more are you spending in order to be more sustainable. A bit more composed and simple with that factor. So basically, just more detailed information, more specific information, then that actually kind of forces them to think about this thing more complex.
Last question on the floor is Ben.
I was just going to comment that I think that we shouldn't make this requirement special or over-constrain the Appropriations Committee. If you look at the other four requirements on the Appropriations Commission document, we don't give examples of what a good group portrait is or what the Appropriations Committee should do with the mission statement. That's up to the group, and the Appropriations Committee, I think it's appropriate to allow the committee a great degree of flexibility to establish their own criteria and recommendations for allocating the funding. I think this body should not over-constrain that process because it's already a hard enough process. And so having a method of giving guidance is one thing, writing legislative constraints, we haven't done it previously, and I don't know if we want to move into that and make it a special thing.
I second that.
And with that, we have concluded the discussion portion of this. This will be discussed actually at the next discussion meeting as a business item, due to the fact that the executive committee is also going to be using it as a time to discuss how the GPSA is funding and how the byline application process works and how the finance commission works as kind of an institutional memory and teaching program that we're trying to establish. So show up to that meeting to vote, because this actually needs 2/3 of the voting membership, and if we do not have that, it'll be moving into the business meeting in January. So January 24th. Thank you for your time. And so that concludes the business portion of our day. Now we're going to be moving into open forum. There's actually one item in open forum that will come first, and we're going to count the members who would like to have a free beer. So if you would like to have a free beer, please raise your hand at this time. Brian will count you. All right. Moving into more of the structured part of open forum, we're going to start off with announcement and report. And the first part of that is the executive update. And so one of the first things that the executives are working on is the formation of a GPSA handbook. On the website, you'll notice that the Office of Assemblies has a handbook available, and this is much more of how the university assembly structures operates, how the GPSA fits in with it, and some very structural-oriented things. This one's going to be much more loose and open in its guidelines. It's going to be much more of like, if you're the events committee chair, what deadlines can you expect, who do you contact, how do you get reimbursement, how meetings are run. It's much more trying to be a document that people can refer to as a quick flip book and saying that, all right, now I'm a member, what are my roles and responsibilities? And so it's going to be much more of just kind of like a guideline. And Brian is offered to take it up, and since he's the counsel to the GPSA, we can't actually impose things on him, but when he actually offers his assistance, we take it. So.
That's true. I did offer this one. So, Doug, you may have the Office of Assemblies handbook. This is not to replace it, but it's more like just to complement the stuff that's in there. So we're not just rewriting that handbook. It's going to be additional stuff in there. So I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. So those are the topics. If anyone has any input that they'd like, please let me know. Of course, some of the stuff can't be written yet because it depends on what the Charter Review Committee goes through. So some of those sections are not going to be written until later, but some of the stuff like the committee, that won't be changing as much, so we can start with that.
Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Evan?
Speaking of imposing things on Brian, or just imposing things in general, and speaking of sustainability, I wonder, maybe this is kind of obvious, but you already say things are going to change, we can't write the document yet. I wonder if you might have a plan going down the line, you know, maybe this could be a charter thing, making it someone's job to keep what comes out of this process up to date as other things change.
I think that would be implied, because if 10 years down the road we change the entire structure of the GPSA, the handbook won't be worth anything anymore.
Yeah.
So yes, it could be language, or at least at a minimum somewhere in the bylaws.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, basically my point is I worry you guys are going to put in all this work for whoever volunteers.
Well, I'm hoping some things won't change.
Yeah.
We're starting with some of the more confusing and consistent points, like funding and how the GPSA is split between the appropriations and the finance commission. And we're attempting to answer some of these questions so people are coming into it have a bunch more knowledge of how the GPSA functions.
Can you just clarify who the intended audience is?
For the all the GPSA members.
As in the version.
If we continue the same system we have now, this would be for the voting members and for all the field representatives. And if anyone, and yes, it would be also appropriate for the Cornell community, because what if it would allow a field who doesn't have a representative and is thinking about sending a representative can review this and see what it entails and whether or not someone is willing to take up that position. So being
broad
answers,
everybody.
Stephen?
I just want to talk about the idea of maybe keeping this as a form of an electronic wiki somewhere online, because these things are going to be constantly changing, as you say, and that's just a nice thing.
I can barely get this thing up on Google Docs. I'm not good with that, so but yeah, now that would be nice.
Can we get some like masters?
That shows how bad it is if I can't even get on Google Docs right now.
Well, my slides,
Brian.
No, sorry, Brian.
So, you
were
talking about the
crazy
things that you
know,
Yeah. Would you do the same with the body members as well? And also
that would be inclusive.
Okay.
If we can do the same system we have now, it would be your rep role, your responsibilities as a voting rep versus your responsibilities as a field representative as part of the non-voting body. But again, that may change depending on how it's charged.
Exactly.
So that's one of the sections that's not going to be done until after the charter.
That is a question that you write. In that case, like, if you can explain like a diagram to see like who can be elected for what and how and who has the right to, you know.
Being in science, flowcharts and pictures always.
We're starting small just so that there's something there and then we're gonna continuously add to it. Ben?
I have two contradictory thoughts.
Okay.
It would be good to keep it brief or have a brief, easy summary at the beginning that people can flip through at meetings when they're bored and but also have the opportunity to get more in depth. And then the contradictory part is, I think it would be interesting to think about adding a section for some sort of informal historical, you know, there again and again the phrase perennial issue comes up. And it'd be interesting to have sort of some sort of discussion of over the last 5 years, members who have been involved in the GCFA have observed these kind of trends. Or some sort of GCFA cultural statement or because we do have the same conversations.
I think
people go back and help.
I think that would fall under, I think it's broad enough when I say introduction to GCFA, that's going to be a stuff.
It could be interesting to ask, you know, Nighthawk and Mike and you know, some of the people have seen a few things to write a paragraph or something about
after definitely, but I think that would fall either in the governance if it's something that's more university wide or if it's a specific GCSA issue that would go on in GCSA section class. I also like the idea of something brief at the beginning.
All right, and so this is one of the items that the executive committee is working on. Please feel free to contact any of us, especially Brian. Send him multiple emails at all hours of the night.
That's it for my seminar for tomorrow.
So one of the other items that the executive committee has made available is graduate area or superfield funding. And this is just kind of like a map of where different areas kind of fall at for now. So I know that Physical Sciences is organizing one for this week, and we'll hopefully get a report back from them to see how it went and if there's any insights gained or interest in GPSA. And so definitely let us know. We're here to help you through this process and trying to get more connection in between the areas. Any questions on this? Yes, Ben.
Do we need to give you some sort of document beyond what we've done for the Physical Sciences organization applying for funding? You've been involved in the emails for all of these?
Yes, all the voting members have agreed to it, so
okay.
You are fine. That was one of the requirements that I posted was that either you have to submit something in writing or an email showing that all members agreed to the date.
Okay.
And then the final item comes from Tom. There is another opening, and it's the Academic Integrity, Biological Sciences. He's getting grasped by the people. We need to put somebody on this. So if you are part of the biological sciences area or know someone who is easily coerced, please get them in on it. It's actually not very much time commitment due to the fact that it's the code of academic integrity, so its meetings are based on when cases are presented towards it.
Is that a 1 year or 2 year term?
I believe this is a 1 year term, but I'd have to clarify what's happening.
Tell them I'm not being
interested. Okay. Pardon? I don't believe so. I believe it has to be specifically from the biological sciences area.
No.
What?
That can't be.
Okay, yeah. No, it cannot be. All right. And that is just for your information. What?
Did you want
And so now moving into more of the committee's updates, we're going to go through and have updates from the different batting and ad hoc committees. Yes. So Billy and the sustainability committee will present first.
Not really the committee, but maybe if
jurisdiction, maybe we might consider changing the web page back so that we can have, you know, this person represents this field. You know,
yes, the executive committee is aware of this, so we've been working with it. Any other questions? All right, moving on to the Finance Commission.
Okay, so the Finance Commission met on the 2nd of November, and we went over 12 requests. That was annual budget appeals and special project requests. We allocated $21,600, or no, we were requested $21,600. We allocated $14,300, and there are $77,600 for the year.
Sorry,
yes, so there's 12 total requests. There was $21,667 requested from those 12 groups. $14,347 were approved, and we have $77,645 remaining for the year. And it, I have an even more detailed breakdown if you wanted.
No, I just
quick write it down. Sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for Ben?
Do you have any sense of how we're doing as far as our burn rate? Are we spending more than normal, less than normal, about?
I mean, so from what I spent per month, like last semester or last year, we're basically on target.
Thanks.
Moving on to appropriations.
Appropriations committee is doing well. we are right now attempting to schedule a meeting with Ari in the Assembly's office. There's been a number of commitments that have come up. We've been trying to find words for everyone, but I'm confident that we will have a meeting soon to discuss the Charon finance system. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but the Charon. Okay. Well, the system that funded groups use to submit their funding proposals that we kind of use to manage the workflow of that speed. So if anybody's interested in being involved in that meeting and has not already been contacted, please do contact me. I'll make sure that you know where we'll be meeting, and I've turned off the multiplication on that. Other than that, I think that we're good for more.
Any questions? Seeing none, we'll move into events.
Okay. This Wednesday, we have the first inter-school mixer. It's just engineering and then biological sciences. Here's the Grant Barn, 7 to 9 p.m. You guys all get an email today about me asking volunteers, cost incident, I need help. So we need people to like work at the door. Basically, we're going to have students that are getting name tags and stickers, and we're doing a little bit of a forced socialization challenge in order to earn that free beer. So I need people at the door to help pass out that and explain the deal. So anyway, if you got the Google Docs link, please sign up. Yeah. And then the other thing is we have two more events before the end of the semester that happens to basically be overlapping at the same time, but we have Workout on Spa Day, which is a huge success. We have over 90 students signed up and about 29 students on the waiting list. So that's happening December 5th from 1 to 5 p.m. And then at the same time from noon to 5 p.m., we're having basically Ithaca Science Center is having their annual free day. So we contacted them with a great let's market this to graduate students. So there's a sort of graduate student event at the Ithaca Science Center. To graduate families and anyone else who's interested in going. So December 5th is a big day. And you'll be getting more information about that as soon as the next event is over. That's the deal.
Any questions for Yvette? Yes, Rob.
And are you planning on having more inter-school mixing events?
Yeah, definitely.
And how do you spend those? In the law school and the business school, we got together and we were going to turn it into like a raving test, which is really amazing. And the law school on it. That's beside the point.
Contact me because we actually, the engineering one is co-sponsored by the
Yeah, I'm on the law.
Let's do it.
So we can probably just funding as well. And like it'd be nice to mix with like biology students, engineering students, you know, like people that we don't usually see that often.
Well,
you don't really see anybody that often.
That's why I have the pond event.
Yeah. And we were the only ones there. Everything's always over
for time consideration.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. But I wanted to be more of the high school mixer, so yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Please sign up on the Google Sheets to help out at the event. Moving on, we'll go to the student advocacy committee.
Yes, so since our next meeting is going to be this Thursday at ENM1.am in Public Environment, I don't have like much dates for now. I think that the key topics we've been covering are diversity issues, of course, and childcare. Rent and also like trying to see if we got the methods to evaluate the impact of the inclusion to see like how it impacts like, the policies and is it sustainable. We need to be able to actually like follow up with the resolution. So that we for people. Also like the thing that we've got is about orientation, but yeah, so I'm going to have one question about that after more on Thursday. The thing that is interesting to me is that we've been approached by the Cornell Outdoor Education and the Cornell Leadership Team who want to launch a pilot program with the student community for like mental health and how they have to relieve like students from stress during finals and like reading days. So I'm in contact with them. I'm gonna have one question about that. The Q&A will be open to everyone, like in the first year of December, and you know, just to see can help people to be there for themselves. So I'll let you know about that if you include or not.
Any questions for the student advocacy committee?
If you're wondering, do you have anything you want to add to that? So also, of course, in following up with all the meetings that we've been organizing involving the four American minority groups. So we have a meeting organized with the Dean of the Grad, the new Dean of the Grad School. I'm here for Kristen with Barbara. I don't know.
Barbara.
Yeah. And so we have a meeting with her that is scheduled on Friday. And we involve the character meeting committee.
Alright, for time constraints to the Mental Health Committee.
We're meeting this Thursday at 5:30 in Brenda's office, 325 Caldwell. We're going to be discussing the results of the National Health Survey that Gannett sent out last year. They were able to extract out. So the survey sent out to the entire Cornell population. They were able to extract out the answers from graduate and professional students who surveyed, who took that survey. So I'll be looking at those results on Thursday. The second item we're going to be discussing is the essay is going to be, I don't know if they've already passed or they will be passing it, a resolution regarding mental health and requesting that professors space out when assignments are due, how much time there is between assignments and that sort of thing. He has asked the committee to look at that and asked me to see if it can be put in front of the GPSA. However, I think the Mental Health Committee needs to look at that resolution because the undergraduate classes and graduate and professional classes are, you know, structured differently. So I think we need to adapt that resolution if the committee thinks it's something that should be presented at that time. So those are the two major items up on business this Thursday.
Any questions for the Mental Health Committee? Yes, Nicole?
Sorry, was that about whether or not as the GPSA would be interested in doing a similar proposal because we would want classes rearranged for the undergraduates or our classes because as TAs, obviously, we have...
I think the resolution is more for our classes, but something I did mention to them is this could affect... graduate students who teach classes now are being this resolution is dictating how we should be setting something up. So, like I said, it's I see the resolution as a basis, but I think it has to be adapted for, you know,
for the graduate community. I think his idea was just that we would take
for example, fracturing additional exams but unnecessary or additional burden on graduate students who are TA. So that's what I'm just trying to understand here.
Gross has the final question for Ron.
Yeah, Brandon, I think since you are in charge of the mental health community, would you like to like, be involved with the therapy community in this type of like pilot program with the Cornell like, leadership team and the Cornell outdoor orientation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're also involved with the, that goes nicely with the other program, the mental health committee supports that the YES classes that. Dr. Brahman, if any of you know him, he leads those classes, so that would work beautifully because we already support that program.
I have a meeting with one of them on Thursday, so if you want to come and meet with
I myself or if someone from the committee is available.
Okay. Moving on, we are going to probably have to skip the liaison update unless there's a pressing issue from the Faculty Senate. Yes?
Actually, yes, there is.
All right.
The Faculty Senate is very actively and seriously looking at the academic calendar, both the schedule of classes during the day as well as how long certain breaks are and everything. I know I brought this up before, but I want to mention it because I just recently was told this, the largest charge of why we exist is because of the student mental health tie-ins, and so I mean I think that we should probably get together because I recently mentioned your name at the meeting and said you know we wanted to redo basically the work of all these committees that have been saying you know that we've worked in mental health avenue. But I mean I want to hear about if anyone has any comments because this is going to happen the same thing when it comes out. So I mean you know due diligence tells me that I should be talking with each one of you and getting your opinions, but it's hard to do that. So I really want to hear about any comments that you have.
Yeah, exactly 30 seconds.
Dean Farr, I contacted Dean Farr at the end of last year because there was an issue brought up that there should be specifically something in the syllabus regarding mental health that the SA was trying to push through. So, just for the rest, for everyone else's historical background, that is the limit of the interaction I've had with Faculty Senate
to
the
dean, but
that was definitely we can discuss that.
Any other of the liaisons or student elected trustees would like to address the floor?
I had one point. It's related to graduate student issues, but it's also a personal issue. A friend of mine who's a master's PhD combination student in natural resources was murdered while doing field work in Nicaragua. And so we were just informed of that today. So, his name is Ryan Crowder. I don't know if any of you were familiar with Ryan. He's a very charismatic individual. And so if you have friends in natural resources, I know it's a difficult time for my field because he was such a visible presence in our department. So just to let you know that, maybe we can have 2 seconds of silence.
The GPSA could entertain a minute of silence. So the GPSA thoughts and condolences goes out to the friends and family of Ryan.
Thank you. And then one other matter I had as a student trustee was that since I last spoke to you, we've had a meeting with the full board. At this meeting, the one subject that's probably most relevant to you is I was asked to give a presentation on some matters to the student life committee. Ended up giving them a presentation on issues related to training for teaching assistants at the university. It turns out that there's not a lot of data on even what training exists across the institution for teaching assistants, whether there is assessment of productivity of training, whether there's assessment, well, we know that there's not assessment of the effects of GA, TAs or TA training on undergraduate learning goals. And so it was something that, that the chairman of the board and the administration asked me to work on going forward, is to work with the graduate school and the provost's office and the vice provost on this issue of gathering more data about issues of TA training. So if any of you are interested in that matter, please see me or send it to me.
So this actually takes us to 7:30. If we would like to extend the meeting to 7:35, I would entertain a motion from the body. There are two items remaining on the agenda that we should probably address. Is it so moved?
I so moved.
All right.
7 minutes
late. All right. So it's been moved by Evan and seconded by Nicole. So any questions for Derek on anything that he said? Seeing none, we'll move into the second to last item on the agenda, and that is the proposed changes to the Cornell Council for the Arts. Evan wanted to address, and so you about have 2.5 minutes.
So some of you are probably familiar with this already. It's been getting a lot of coverage in the Sun. I did make a post to the forum. I know several people viewed it, but I haven't gotten any response, so I wanted to make sure that I mentioned this explicitly at the meeting. There are enormous changes to the Cornell Council for the Arts being proposed. A total overhaul of the way this works. To give you some background, this is an organization that started in the late 60s, I think 1967. It is the only group on campus that funds arts across the whole campus. One of their main goals is to provide individual grants for artistic projects, both to students and to faculty. The changes basically reconfigure the group so that instead of funding individual artistic activities, they fund one large event. There's a document that was prepared by a committee over the past year. This document was published by the provost's office, and he basically said, I endorse this. We want to move forward with this. Some of the examples that they give in the appendix of events include putting a fuselage of a 787 on the art squad, inviting Martin Scorsese to campus. The other event was celebrating skin. This was inviting a visual artist who does plastic surgeries to herself to, you know, showcase skin, projecting things on buildings, all of these sorts of things. My opinion, basically, is that I think it's a great idea to have a large arts event, whether it's a fuselage or not, I don't know. However, I'm extremely nervous about getting rid of individual grants for arts funding on campus, because I emphasize that there is no alternative. What the current plan says is that the provost's office will provide 2 years of funding, so that's fiscal year 2012 and fiscal year 2013, to allow these individual grants to continue. But after that, it basically says, we hope that various constituencies will keep funding these sorts of things. I think we all know the budget constraints that everybody are under. That's a death sentence. If the provost's office stops funding the grants that they've been funding for the past 43 years, these grants will cease to exist. I think it's an important issue. I think maybe the GPSA can consider voting on a resolution, which I will be happy to work on. I encourage you to post to the blog, and I encourage you to come talk to me.
Thank you. So any feedback, Evan would be happy to receive. We'll have to do it after the official meeting. So Tom, who is actually very ill today, has asked me to discuss the GPSA charter review that is currently going on, and I'll do it very quickly. So this is the current timeline. Next meeting is December 6th. It's going to be 5:30 to 7 p.m. in Big Red Barn. It's probably not going to be in the same location, because anyone who attended the last one could attest to that it was very difficult to actually hear each other speak. So it's going to be probably in this room here, since there's a large number of people who are attending these meetings. So if you're interested in participating in the discussions, please attend these meetings. Some of the issues that have been brought forward to the committee are listed here and then also on the next slide, but the two that are in bold were the two that were the main discussed at the last meeting, and so that was minority student representation and voting members and non-voting members. And so read through this list, but the one thing that we want to cover is underneath the minority student representation, there was a slight some people were left the meeting with a sour taste in their mouth with how the different discussion was going on, and it was very confrontational and sometimes in a combative spirit, which is external and usually alien to how the GPSA conducts business. So as we're moving through the charter review process, we have to remember that we're all volunteers here and we're all caretakers of a GPSA community. We could be simply an events-oriented organization where we put on these different balls and grad night out, but we also are trying to be an advocacy arm for the GPSA. With that in mind, a subset of the GPSA population has come forward saying that they would like to get more involved and that they have a community identity that they feel more representative of. And it's the responsibility for the GPSA to seriously consider the request and work with our constituency to see how we best can represent and move forward as we go through. So it's important that we keep the dialogue open and keep it positive and realize that we're in a very collaborative environment with people who are very open to different ideas, but we all have different ideas how everything should function. And I know because I used to have to mitigate between all these people, and I'm going to kill all of you. So just remember that come to these ideas in a good spirit and a good idea, and just realize that if there is miscommunication going on, try to address it off-tab and say that, whoa, what did you just say kind of thing, if you can clarify that. Don't try to leave meetings assuming what somebody else has brought into the table, because we all come through these meetings at different paths, and we all find ourselves sitting here for different reasons. So just be in a collaborative environment. And with that in mind, Grant wanted to address the body.
Yes, anything. So, yes, fellow organizers, students, the issue of minorities. Let's go with and be more precise. Like, internally underrepresented groups is an issue that linked to the issue of diversity that is really prevalent now in at Cornell in general, through the trustees, through the administration, and through the student body. It is true that many minorities, American minorities. come to the meetings, to the charter review, and think about the fact that they would like to be like more inclusive within the GPSA. I think they should be aware that the charter review committee doesn't have the time to really address like all the issues. It's a matter that is like very complicated, and I think that it would be better for you to have like two working group sessions before the next charter review like committee, where people can actually like sit down, brainstorm, discuss, and then find like meaningful solutions to the diversity of positions in the GPSA. And then we talk about how to implement these policies, for example, to ensure more representation of which option we have to make it happen. And also to see if we're willing to consider like structural change into the GPS structure. And so I've been talking with them and with Nighthawk, who've been like speaking very interested to do so, and we have like very interesting and very effective dialogue. So I would like to like invite any one of you who wants to be part of this discussion. Knowing and taking information what Kristen said, that it's a thorough experience. They are truly a conversation that they have like a long history that brings up a lot of emotions. I think we need to be aware of that from the two parties, but I think it's a Cornell student, need to be academic and intellectual, and yeah, to give out the bigger picture. So if you're interested in that, anyway, these two groups are going to be scheduled. I know that Lila and Ben are going to be present. Every person, I would like to see that as well.
Thank you. If time permits.
So let me see. Also, it's not that you know, people have left the room already, but if like an email, general email, can be sent to the DPS and serve, you know, that'll be great. So please, watch every question first. And if you have empowerment, let me know.
I'm just looking at the clock.
Yes.
I move that we extend the meeting a further 5 minutes to 7:40.
Do we have a second? Alright, second by.
Sorry, I was trying to interrupt.
Well, I think it's like Ben or Nighthawk had like a long conversation yesterday about it, like in fact, for example, an address issue, which is on the agenda, which is a request from the historically underrepresented group to be on the GPS site.
And, I guess I just, I mean, to reiterate both Preston's point and some of the issues you raised, my perception of what's going on is that there are a group of graduate students who want to be more involved in the GTSA, and that's the best possible thing for all the things that we've struggled with and worked with as long as I've been involved with the GTSA about how do we better engage the graduate community, how do we get more involved. As probably most of you know, I have significant concerns about structural changes to the GTSA. So I'm very interested in brainstorming together about what possible opportunities there are to best engage members of our community and how to meaningfully involve them. And I think that the best way to come up with options is to brainstorm together and be open and honest about our concerns. You know, there are things that I would vote against, there are things I would vote for, but to just be combative and not discuss that is not a way for us to work together and come up with the best possible solution for the community as a whole. So I would encourage people to participate in the group meetings. I would encourage individual dialogue and small group dialogue to try and brainstorm what various opportunities could be. And I think the more opportunities on the table, the more we collaborate to brainstorm solutions, the more likely we're able to come up with the best group decisions and the best consensus as possible.
And to just summarize everything so we can conclude the formal part of our meeting, if you have any other ideas outside of anything that's listed here, or if you have ideas specific to anything that's listed here, please email Tom. He's always looking for different ways to address the charter and different issues that we probably could not foresee within the charter. And so email him. He's open to it for attending meetings. Get it on the table, get it discussed, and let's try to revamp GTSA to be as best as possible. And with that, we come to the end of everything that is on the agenda except for polling. The only question I have is, does the body find it better to have announcements and reports at the end or at the beginning? So if you find it better at the end, please raise your hand now. So if you like announcements and reports from committee chairs at the end rather than the beginning, just raise your hand now.
Like this meeting.
Like this meeting, yeah. All right, if you like it the old way, where the announcements and reports are early, please raise your hand up. How about split? So. depending on what the agenda is, we'll probably will alternate.
We'll pull the names out of the hat.
Exactly.
The advantage is that we have guests. We might have our guests first.
So with that, I entertain anyone a motion to conclude this meeting.
Open forum sign on the agenda?
Yes, there is open forum, so we need to extend the meeting further.
Oh, I don't want to do
that. I'm saying we can have informal open forum because we also have beers sitting around.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
And we have a second. Any opposed? No. All right, so we are adjourned.
How do you people nurse your beer down long? Okay.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.